This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show live from Clearwater with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, it's warm out. The sun is shining. There's baseball being played right in front of us. How you doing?
Port of Surfsides. Holla at your boy, Brother Spike. Well, that was totally out of that was out of sync.
I don't know how to start the show now.
Brother Spike. We're here in Clearwater. You can hear the fans in the background. Not a great day so far for the Fightins. But how many innings we got left to go, Jack?
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yep, doesn't really matter at all. How is your boy?
Good to be here. Good to be here. Oh, long day already. But we had some big interviews earlier. Very exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, you'll hear it throughout the next 2 days. So we'll be broadcasting here from, I always forget, Bay Care Ballpark. For the next 2 days, we will be talking to Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking to Jesus Luzardo. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking to Phillies GM Preston Mattingly. Mm-hmm. We will have Larry Boa later today. Mm-hmm. Tom McCarthy later today. Did I forget anything?
No.
Yeah. So a big
Trey T tomorrow.
Yeah. Wait, what's today? So today is 2:30 is Larry Boa, yes. 3:30 is Tom McCarthy, mm-hmm. 4:30 is Jesus Luzardo. Yes. You'll get to
5:30 is Creed.
5:30 is Creed. The one thing I want to say about Jesus Luzardo before we get to it is
striking.
Well, he is striking, and you'll hear that. Mm-hmm. But he clearly didn't believe that I could do 250 push-ups in one day.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Not many people do believe it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do it during a show.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just do it during commercial breaks, whatever. So here we are. It's beautiful out here. You know, before we get into the show in general, do you feel last year, and maybe it was because we were here later in the spring, I felt like sort of a vibe, maybe an intensity. Now, I haven't felt it in the day that we're here. Everybody's happy. Everybody's having a good time. I don't know if I feel that intensity. Yeah. Maybe it's because of the letdown last year. Maybe it's because we're here early in the year. Do you notice that at all? Or does
yeah.
It, yeah.
No, I notice it. I definitely notice it. And it's one of the things that, I don't know if we're going to get into this, but it's sort of what concerns me about the team, right, is that I'm not sure if this sort of laissez-faire, relaxed, approach is just a new angle for them to go at the season with. I guess not putting as much pressure on themselves to start off the season and just letting the game come to them. And I'm assuming that they're hoping that they'll be playing their best baseball late in the season. In theory, I guess I understand it just from a former player aspect. It's hard to go into a season, at least it's hard for me to imagine going into a season where you're not tensed up about winning the championship.
Right.
And that's all you're focused on. And that's all that matters. It seems like there's more of a, we're not putting pressure on ourselves to win a championship. Yeah, of course we want to go win one, but we're not putting extra pressure on ourselves to go win a championship.
And you're talking about from fans or from players?
Players.
Really?
Yes. So when I say I know, like I said, we'll get into this even more. But that's what sort of concerns me, is that I don't know if this is a great sort of strategy going into the season, or is this some way of sort of diffusing the energy we can bring as a media and fan base to the team.
Or it could be for that, it could be purposely diffusing themselves because mm-hmm. they felt like they ran out of gas last year.
Right.
You know, like maybe it is a
conscious
decision.
It started off fast.
Yeah.
Didn't have any. in the end.
So 215-592-9494. We have a big show today, but we want to start off, and I don't want to. This isn't. I'm not taking it from a negative angle, but this is a, when you just look at the lineup, and you can tell it from a national perspective. When you just look at the lineup and you look at the pitching staff, this is a championship level roster. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the Dodgers and you have the next probably five teams in baseball that are all sort of at that same level. You talk about the Braves, you talk about the Mets, maybe the Orioles, the Phillies, maybe the Diamondbacks, in that same sort of, you think of as a World Series level roster. But there's clearly something that is keeping us from fully believing in the Phillies this year to be a World Series contender. So the question today is, what is the one thing, if there's one thing that keeps you up at night about this year's Phillies, what is that one thing? So, Jack, I'll start with you.
Okay.
The one thing about the Phillies that's keeping you up at night is what?
They look like they're an arm short in the bullpen. I know the obvious answer is, but like last year they had extra guys that they could go to, and you know, they had almost two bullpens. They had your A bullpen and your B bullpen.
Right.
Well, now they have really just four arms that I think people feel good about. And even those arms are kind of wild card. Like, I think Romano, who they talked a lot about today, he's probably going to be pretty good, but he's still a wild card. Alvarado looked really good in his first spring game, but
he's a wild card.
He's been used a lot over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And then you need the Kirkering and you need Strom. After that, then you're getting into the Jose Ruizes and the Tanner Bankses of the world, whereas last year, even though we weren't all Stevezed up, I mean, they did have a major league quality arm in Carlos Estevez. You lost Jeff Hoffman and basically just replaced him with Jordan Romano. So, like, of the things with the baseball team, the bullpen just looks like they're an arm short.
So for me, Ike, before we get what's keeping you up at night, for me, it's leadership and mentality. And I don't think what... And that isn't to say that the players on this team don't care, because I think they care. But I think the thing that was missing last year is they almost had to be talked into worrying. They almost had to be talked into a sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. They almost had to be, and by the time they knew that there was something wrong, it was too late, and they couldn't turn it on. And my concern is, whether it's from a roster standpoint, a personality there, whether it's the manager, a personality there, the thing that I feel like they're missing is the person to sound the alarm, the person to sort of rally the troops, and the person to be willing to speak up and say, "This, there's something wrong here." Again, whether it's the manager, whether it's players, to me, it is a mentality and a leadership issue more than it is a talent issue. So that's the thing that's keeping me up at night. 215-592-9494. Ike, what's the one thing about the Phillies that's keeping you up at night?
Well, it's very similar to that, and I was touching on it prior too. It's really their mental approach to this season. So I begin to wonder whether or not they truly believe they are a World Series caliber team, right? And it's hard for me as a fan, to sort of have that expectation if I'm not really hearing it from the players. And I understand they did this last year and they got off to a fast start and it didn't end well. But if nothing else, it had the fan base charged. Like, everybody was locked in on the regular season does matter. Getting off to a fast start does matter. Winning in division does matter. Like, and we bought into that sort of theme for last year, and it played out early. It just fizzled out in the second half. If there was a way, see, to me, it doesn't seem like they figured out a way to sustain that. They've sort of taken the approach that, well, it doesn't really matter. We're not really focused on getting off to a hot start and all this and that and the other. We just want to be playing well late in the season and going into the playoffs. I just don't know how you can flip a switch from a mentality standpoint and be up there with the teams that we feel like they're going to have to compete with. On the field or on paper, like, the talent is there. Like, is there? There's enough talent there to give you hope. But if you have already sort of played an armchair psychologist with yourself, as far as, I want to make sure I say the right things so that I don't put more pressure on myself. I don't know if I really like that approach. Like, I'm going to have to be shown that this works for them. Maybe it does. I just don't see it. I liked last year when they were locked in and focused and angry about losing to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They came out playing with a purpose. It didn't end well. That doesn't mean you scrap everything you did to get off to the hot start that you got off to last year.
Yeah, what I think is interesting, though, and to play devil's advocate, because I do agree with what you guys are saying, but to devil's advocate it. Like the Eagles last year would be.
I've just never heard devil's advocate as a verb.
Yeah, yes.
We make up sometimes.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes you have to.
Yeah, to play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But the Eagles last year, coming off the collapse, mm-hmm. you know. They spent all kind of off-season training camp saying, we're not talking about last year. And they used that as like a turn-the-page kind of thing. I mean, maybe this is just their strategy this year. Maybe it's just...
For good reason, the Eagles didn't want to talk about last year.
Yeah, the Phillies don't want to talk about the Mets series.
Well, truthfully, the thing that I think is interesting to me is, let's say they come out and they do start off 16-5. Well, what does that mean, right, to them? Like, let's say the pitching is so good that... So, to me, it's not like – I don't think they were good in the beginning last year because they were focused. I think they were good because the starting pitching was excellent, and mm-hmm. and they had some – you know, Casty didn't hit for the first 2 months of the year. Stott didn't hit. Harper, I think, started off fine, but it's I don't know. Like, I wonder if they start off good and they're winning games – what does that mean, right? And what does it mean if that goes away too? Because I don't know if it was specifically the intensity that they brought that made them winners last year. All right.
Well, but I do believe...
That some of it was that.
Well, yeah, going into spring training, I mean, the owner is telling you he wants his trophy back at the first meeting. Now, you don't normally get that when you start the season off or in spring training. So, I mean... I just think they had an intensity to them based off of what happened in that Arizona Diamondback series that made them want to come out and play the way that they play. You know, like in baseball, it's a lot of games. So players can easily believe, I'm just going to ease into this thing. Like, my batting average in April doesn't matter. What I'm doing in April doesn't matter, or May. I'll get it going by June or July, and this and any other. But last year, they didn't come out thinking that way.
No. But they also ran out of steam. So I don't.
I'm just saying, if from my perspective, if there's something that's concerning me, then I don't know if we'll see how we're playing in August and September and October goes. That just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
It almost gives me. I mean, why would I believe they're going to win the World Series this year? Like,
yeah, if you don't believe,
if that's not what you guys are discussing, why would I discuss that?
I still think to an extent. They're a little lost about what happened last year, mm-hmm. and they're searching for whatever the right mode is. Because this team got good almost by – they put a roster together, but they reached a plateau almost by accident in 22. Mm-hmm. And I think they are searching for whatever the recipe is to get back to that point, when really a lot of it is they got really hot. In 2022. Mm-hmm. And you can't plan to get hot, or else everybody would plan to get hot. All right, 215-592-9494. What, Jack?
We have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh, boy.
Right. The Eagles are rewarding
Saquon. Breaking news.
Eagles are rewarding Saquon Barkley with a two-year contract extension. $41 million to make him the highest-paid running back in NFL history.
There you go. Congratulations,
Told you.
Saquon.
Told you.
$36 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Wow, that was loud.
Yeah.
Dang!
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing about doing that for Saquon. Good contracts are when you're playing, generally, are when you're paying players for future performance, not past performance. But Saquon Barkley is one player who we owe it to him to be paid for past performance. This is
It was a year.
Yes.
He got paid.
He won us a Super Bowl.
Well, no, yeah. Believe me, I agree.
Well, Jalen won this.
But no, but I'm saying my only point is my only point is the Eagles don't normally do this.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the point that I'm making. Yep. I'm glad they did it, because what it tells me is either they jumped out ahead of it, or his agent came to them behind closed doors and they didn't let this drag out. They got it taken care of. The same way we said, if it's going to happen, I'd rather just be announced versus hearing Saquon wants a new deal.
Right.
We didn't hear that from anybody. It just got announced.
Yeah, I think, and to an extent, it's like, look, we might have taken 2 years off your career, buddy. We might owe you this one. And I think to a certain extent, the entire year does not – everyone had a part in it. The defense was great. The offensive line was great. But truthfully, if there is one player on this team that made it possible for the Eagles to win a Super Bowl last year, that person was Saquon Barkley.
Without question.
And there's not going to be and really, if they want to reward him for it, they can't do it in 2 years because there's a strong possibility that in 2 years or in a year, Saquon's not going to be who we want him to be.
You have to convince me. Yeah. I'm good with it. I don't think anybody has a problem with it. I'm just surprised they did it and how much they did.
Here's the other.
That's what I'm talking about. You're giving that to a running back, and I'm just saying, we got players that all I'm saying is Saquon was here under contract. Well, I just hope everybody else gets re-signed and all the other stuff.
That's the question. The question is,
that's the point.
And we'll see if Elliott, Mr. Future GM, has the information on this. I want to know how much affects this year's cap. Because if we had $26 million in cap space this year, and this takes half of it, we're going to see players leave. And we're going to see players not come here because of rewarding Saquon for last year. It's very easy for me to say, for all the fans to say, we don't care. We won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Saquon deserves it. But if in week 9, the Philadelphia Eagles are 5-3 or 4-4, and Saquon doesn't look like the same guy, or you know, we don't have somebody on the edge who's getting to the quarterback, mm-hmm. It's easy to say now. It's easy to say now, yes, let's throw the cap space at Saquon. I wonder if in the middle of next season, if people are reacting in the same way. I
also wonder if they do this if we don't win the Super Bowl.
No.
Yeah.
They can't.
But he still had the same season.
Yes, but a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. I mean,
agree, but he didn't go win the Super Bowl for us. I'm just saying, what if they didn't win the Super Bowl? He still would have had a great season this past year.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
As we change topics on the run, we'll ask Larry Bowen.
Well, this is pretty big. Yeah.
Is it okay with you if this, like, if this costs them Myles Garrett?
Yes.
Is it okay with you if this costs them Zach Bond and Myles Garrett?
No.
It's not?
No.
Jack, is this okay with you if this costs them Zach Bond and Myles Garrett?
No. I don't know why I don't know why they did it.
Because they owe him.
But he's under contract for 2 years.
I know he's under contract for 2 years, but in two,
I don't know if they owe him. I think they just rewarded him.
I think to an extent they owe him. Okay, I think because we don't know. Look, we're not going to know this answer, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to know if when they talked to Saquon and they signed him, they said, "Hey, look, we want you to be great for the next 3 years." Mm-hmm. We have a loaded offense. You're going to touch the ball X number of times, so on and so forth. And he comes in here, and they look at it, and they say, this is the way we're going to win the Super Bowl. This is the only way we're going to win the Super Bowl. And we all agree, if they don't do it at the bye
week. That wasn't the plan when they signed him.
It wasn't the plan, but it's what happened, and it's what he did. So the question becomes, is that Super Bowl worth the getting better this year? And it might. I don't know the cap ramifications of this, but they have Saquon Barkley's career is the next 2 years now. I mean, it really is. And if we're lucky, it's the next 2 years.
But it was going to be that whether they gave him the money or not.
Yes, but
even you said after getting 500 carries,
I know.
Like what production is going to be there?
Well, the thing I'm struggling with though is that if you want to reward him for that, this is your only chance to do it because looking forward.
Yeah,
it's likely he's not going to look like a player you give an extra $40 million to thank him for winning you a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I wonder from a specific team-building perspective, it's not the thing to do, but for a signal to the rest of the league that, hey, we didn't use him up and throw him out. We didn't not give him the money when we wanted to give him the money.
You think the rest of the league – I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's an exception.
Yeah,
I don't think the rest of the league. There's several teams I know wouldn't have done this.
Most teams.
Yeah, like so. I listen. It's what makes the Eagles a great organization.
Yep.
I'm happy to see they are rewarding their players. But if my math is right, did he get 26 last year?
He got 26 guaranteed.
And then now he's got 36 guaranteed.
What's the guarantee on it, Jack?
$36 million
on the extension.
Well, yeah, because the 41...
Well, no. Right. Well, can you just read the tweet to me? offense. I'm sorry. Eagle, I don't need you doing math, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eagles are rewarding Saquon Barkley with a 2-year, $41 million contract extension that makes him the highest paid running back in NFL history. The deal makes Barkley the NFL's first $20 million per year running back.
Yep.
Barkley also has the ability to earn an additional $15 million in incentives and escalators. The deal includes $36 million fully guaranteed signing. The Eagles are taking the rare step of extending Barkley 1 year.
They're giving $60 million in a year?
Dude, they're going to have 17 void years on this contract. We're going to be paying we're going to see a Saquon Barkley cap hit in 2047. Because if it's $36 million guaranteed on 3 years, on a 2-year extension.
Yeah.
If there will be void years on there, but if there aren't, that's $18 million against the cap over 2 years. I just, like, that is a, we need Elliott.
I love it. $20 million running back.
Yeah. The team that would never pay a running back.
They would never pay a running back. This is.
Somebody call Howard Eskin.
Oh, my goodness. You know I thought about him also.
Immediately, yeah.
Dude, listen, like I said, Saquon's happy. They did this the right way. I don't know if the team came to Saquon. I'd be surprised with that. But Saquon's agent, somebody made a phone call.
Yeah, but what's he going to do?
No, that's what I'm saying.
But you can't approach it like that. You could do that with every – but hold on. Think of the number of players that they have extended before they needed to extend.
Listen.
Who they didn't have to do that with.
I love running.
They didn't have to do it with AJ.
Listen, I know. I love Saquon. He's a running back that just got used a ton, and they gave him another year and $36 million.
They did it as a thank you. They did it as a
why?
Thank you.
Why?
Because he won them the Super Bowl.
We've all said thank you.
But
I'll say thank you.
Because
how many did I need to write him a note to say thank you?
They made him the highest paid running back last year.
But he had 500 touches. They could have ended his career with what they did last year.
Okay, and they did it.
Football.
But they might have.
But they didn't.
No. You're saying they didn't.
And then won the Super Bowl.
If in week two, if he has one of these years.
What if he's hurt next year?
Yes.
And then you're talking about these guys.
We won the Super Bowl last year.
So what?
But I'm telling you. I'm struggling with it like you guys do. But what I'm saying is as a matter of right is right, they looked at this guy and they said, we need you in a way that could put the rest of your career in question. I mean, really.
Well, here's what I'm saying, though, Spike.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Yes.
How are they going to get that production out of
They're
him?
They're not.
So then where's the logic?
They did it as a thank you. They did it as a, we needed you. You came through for us. We know this could have adverse effects on the rest of your career, and we thank you for what you did. And it's a right as right. Look.
Here's all I'm saying.
I'm struggling with it.
I'm going to see the rest of this roster.
Yep. Also, what about the quarterback? I mean, are you going to extend him too?
Yeah, exactly. He's getting extended.
Well, but the first of all, the quarterback has is making $50 million a year. The quarterback is not out, and the quarterback didn't win them the Super Bowl last year.
Well, he's Super Bowl MVP.
He didn't win the Super Bowl.
No. Yeah,
but this guy, more than Nick Foles, more than Brandon Graham, if there's one guy that won a championship for us, it was Saquon Barkley.
You haven't convinced me. I've been saying that all year long. Yeah, it's just more or less.
I think they did it as a thank
shocked.
You.
I'm just shocked at it.
Yes.
Now we're giving the $20 million a year thank yous.
Here's our normal spring training broadcast.
Yeah, where the Eagles...
I mean, when news breaks, it breaks.
Yeah. No, they're trying to. It's the Eagles trying to ruin spring training. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right.
36 guaranteed.
Leave us alone.
Ooh-wee.
Just kidding. Don't leave us alone at all.
All right. Speaking of which, our spring training coverage is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Joining us next to break down the Saquon extension is Larry Boa. If you have thoughts on what's keeping you up about the Phillies or the Saquon extension, like, is it okay with you if it costs them Zach Bond, if it costs them a shot at Myles Garrett, if it costs you...
It's going to cost us everybody.
Yeah, we're gone, actually. The Eagles have called WIP, and they're like, 215-592-9494.
You're talking about somebody having a great year.
Yes. Well,
my goodness.
Jack mentioned that somebody saw Saquon out the other night. Looked like he was having a good time. He might have been celebrating this.
The position was extinct a year ago.
Now everyone's around. Yeah.
Now he just gave him back.
By the way, every general manager in football is like,
they're like, what the hell are the Eagles doing?
Yep.
God, pay for past performance. but Bryce can't get an extension.
Oh, tell me about the championships he's won.
Well, Saquon had 57 yards rushing in the Super Bowl. Are we sure he's going to be a big game player?
Let's not go down this
road. Yeah, we're not doing that. All right, it's live from BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Clearwater for Philly Spring Training. Spring Training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Joining us now, the great Larry Boa. We appreciate you coming up here, spending some time with us today, my friend.
LB.
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
How we doing?
Good so far.
So can you tell, it's early, right? Can you tell how a season's going to go in some way based on not the performance of the players, but I guess the attitude of the players in spring training?
Yeah, I think we can. I think you can judge people. Last year in particular, these guys were very upset about losing, and this year it's even worse. The last 2 years, nothing against the Mets, nothing against Arizona. Those are two teams that, on paper, I know you don't win games on paper. You have to beat those two teams, and we didn't do it. There's no excuse for it. We didn't play good. We didn't pitch good. And when you get in the playoffs, you got to execute. You're not winning 8-7 or 2-1, 3-2 games. And we came up short both years. And I think this year, these guys know that that window is not going to be open a long, long time. And it's a good team. All stars almost at every position. Pitching solid. We got to quit talking about it and do it. We can sit here and talk about all we should have, could have. We got to go out and do it. We got to go deep into the playoffs. If we don't go deep into the playoffs, I consider that a bad year.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? It seems like the players said, you know, right around the middle of June, for the rest of the year, team was pretty much 500-ish, below 500. And they talked about sort of losing whatever it was at the beginning of the year and not being able to find it back. Like, what do you think happened? And do you think how, when a team loses it the way they did and the way that they came out, how do you go about finding that?
I think each guy's got to take a look in the mirror, to be honest with you. You know, you got to evaluate. We can point fingers at missed calls or we didn't get a break. When you get in the playoffs, you got to make your own breaks, and we haven't done that. The talent is there to do it, but like I said, you can't talk about it all the time. You got to go out and do it, and we've done enough talking, I think. I like this makeup of this team. I like the manager. I like the coaches. I love the rotation. It's a real deep rotation. We have a tendency sometimes to play down to people we're playing. You can't do that. I don't care who you're playing. You got to go out there every night and leave it out there. Whether you're playing Colorado, whether you're playing the Dodgers, the mindset's got to be, what can we do to beat this team tonight? And for some reason, it seems like the second half, we sort of played down to our opposition. You can't do that. And all of a sudden, now you're in the playoffs, and you think that switch is going to go on. It doesn't go on. You got to keep that momentum going. And, again, we haven't done that.
As a player, as a manager, how do you sort of balance or navigate the length of the season, right? The guys, they start off hot, they play well early, and then eventually people will say, well, it's still early, you got to be able to do it late. But, I mean, as a player, as a manager, you want to get off to a hot start, right? You don't want to get off to a slow start, but at the same time, you want to be playing your best baseball late in the season.
No question. And to me, we can sit here and talk about how long the season is. This is a grind. Mm-hmm. It's a grind to play 162 games. And to me, the physical ability's there. Mentally, you got to say, hey, man, when you're training in November and December and January, you're not training for opening day until the All-Star break. You're training until from the first pitch, and hopefully you're the last team standing. And it's a grind. And you got to be mentally tough to play this game. And I just think we've had spurts where things haven't gone right. And that's when you got to dig deep down. You got to get in there and dig and find a way. You got to find a way to do it. And there's, like I said, if we only had two or three guys that were real good, that's a good lineup. That's deep. Like I said, we got all-stars everywhere. But the consistency, I'm looking for more consistency. Game one through, I don't even want to say game 162. I want to say through the playoffs.
Yeah.
And until we do that, hopefully we don't have to go through what we did the last 2 years. It makes it for a long winter. You sit down, man, how'd we get eliminated so quick? Too much talent, way too much.
It's a WIP afternoon show. We're in Clearwater. Larry Boa with us now here at Philly Spring Training. You, fiery as a player, fiery as a manager. Now we don't see what's in the clubhouse, right? But when we watch the Phillies, it seems like it is a sort of comfortable, laid-back bunch. They get along. They support each other. Do you think that there is somebody there? And do you think a team needs somebody or a couple of somebodies to be sort of that wild card or a hothead or somebody to shake things up every once in a while?
I think they have the people in that club. I really do. Schwarber's
yep.
a great leader.
Yep.
JT, you know, Harp. I mean, we can sit there and say we need somebody. I mean, John Middleton, I don't know much more what he can do.
Right.
He's given the yeah. city, he's given the Phillies a great talent out there. I don't believe that we need a guy in there to stir it up. I think guys got to take it within themselves to say, hey, this is unacceptable the way this stuff's ended.
Yeah.
And I do hear guys talk about how disappointed they were, which to me that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I get tired of hearing just flush it away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even playing. I can't flush it away. I'm not even playing. I'm looking back at last year and the year before, and I'm going, man, this shouldn't end. I think mentally they know they got to get to another place.
Jack's out there shooting hot dogs at us, LB.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they stole Jack, yeah. and he's riding around with the Fanatics shooting hot dogs.
Today's not a good day to pitch. That wind
yeah.
is howling out
yeah.
here right now.
Yeah.
No, I think we have the ingredients to win. I really do. I love our pitching staff. I really do. And Lizardo, I think Dave did a great job getting him. This guy's lights out. Sanchez is pitching like a one. Wheeler had a bad outing today, but he's been pitching lights out. Nola, we know. Ranger, there's five good starters. And we got Walker who's throwing the ball well. So you're never going to go through the season with five pitchers. I mean, you'd like to.
Yep.
You always end up using 8, 9, maybe 10 through the course of the season. So the depth's there, the bullpen's there. Like I said, we got to go out and do it.
Let me ask you about Bryson Stott. A couple years ago, man, he looked like he was on a trajectory. He could be an all-star second baseman type of player, top of your lineup type of hitter. A little bit of a step back last
yep.
year. Would you believe, though, the talent is still there and he can get back to being where he was a couple years ago?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think he's going to have a real good year.
Yeah.
You know, people, I know you've read some articles where his elbow was messed up a little bit. And when you play every day, he goes out there, he posts every day. So what happens is you get into some bad habits to protect the pain you have in
sure.
the arm. And I think he developed some bad habits at the plate. He's swinging the bat good down here. I expect him to have a big-time bounce back here. He's my pick to click as far as rebounding. I like the way he's going about his business right now. But yeah, I think it was an off year for him, and he'll be the first to tell you he wasn't satisfied with the way the year went last year, especially offensively.
Larry Boa with us here at Philly Spring Training in Clearwater. Let's stay in the middle of the infield with Trey. So, you know, both defensively and offensively, Trey mentioned that he thought he had an improvement last year defensively, and there's still more there. So I guess a two-part question. First, do you feel like there's still more is there for Trey as a shortstop defensively? And do you think him moving to the leadoff spot will be good for him as a hitter? It seems like occasionally he gets a little home run happy, and he can't be that way as
right.
the leadoff hitter. So defensively and offensively, what are you looking for from Trey this year?
In answer to defensively, I think there are definitely more there.
Yep.
I will say this, not to protect Trey or anything. I think the fielding stats are the most flawed stats in baseball. There's three different categories out there. And I look at some of these guys that are ranked ahead of certain guys on our team, and I scratch my head. And I don't even look at that stuff defensively. But he's definitely improved over when we first got him. Offensively, I think he could hit anywhere in the lineup. First, second, third. He's a force offensively. If bats leadoff, his goal should be, I want to score 100 runs. Forget everything else. If he scores 100 runs and bats first, we're going to win a lot of games. You hit him second, I think he's got a real good chance of being a very good second hitter. You could hit him third. He's that kind of athlete. I do expect him to steal more. I know last year he shut it down a little bit because he pulled his hamstring. He was afraid he was going to hurt it again. We need him to be active on the base paths. He's very capable of stealing 50 or 60 bases, especially with the new rules. Throwing over there twice, if you don't get him the third time, it's a balk. I think he can create a lot of havoc on the bases. He's an MVP-type player. We got him. We got Harper, that MVP-type player. Schwarber. That's what I'm saying. If you go right around that field, you scratch your head when you say, man, we shouldn't be home that early. And, again, I hope that last year left a scar on these guys' minds a little bit, and they're ready to go. I feel the atmosphere is a little different. They talk about it a little bit more.
Hmm.
But, again, we can talk about it all we want. We got to go out and do it.
You mentioned, you know, a Trey could hit first, second, third. There's been a lot of talk in the offseason, at least in the media, about the lineup and where guys are hitting. Does it matter as a hitter where you are? It seems important for some of the guys to hit in certain spots. How much does it matter for a hitter where you're hitting, if you're hitting second or fifth or wherever you are?
I think it matters, knowing where you're going to hit every day, who's hitting in front of you, who's hitting behind you, how pitchers are going to dictate get to you. I mean, if Trey's on base a lot, obviously pitchers don't want him stealing. Hitters probably get more fastballs to hit.
Yep.
Afraid to throw breaking balls because if it goes in the dirt, he's going to be down there. I think it's important. And guys like to hit a certain place in the lineup. They like to know, hey, I'm hitting second or I'm hitting first. You know, people talk about, well, you got to move Schwarber out of the one hole. I mean, we've won a lot of games with Schwarber bat first.
Right.
And I don't know what Thompson's going to do. I know he's experimenting. I mean, today he's got Schwarber hitting fourth. He had Trey leading off and Harp hitting second. There's a lot of flexibility in that lineup. That's another good sign. You can back at these guys anywhere you want. It's a potent lineup, 1 through 9.
How does, as a manager, how do you weigh in your mind, I think that it's best for the team if player X is hitting here, but he's more comfortable hitting over here. How do you go about figuring that jigsaw puzzle out?
I think we have veteran players out there that if you call them in, and Thompson's great at communicating, he doesn't leave anybody hanging. He tells you exactly what he's thinking. I think whatever lineup he decides to go with, and he calls player X in and says, here, we're doing this year, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I really don't. Maybe you might have a little feedback, but the way he communicates with his players, as long as they know where they're hitting, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I really don't.
So just a couple things on pitching, because the two guys you mentioned were the two guys I wanted to ask about, Chris Sanchez and Jesus Luzardo. This is the first year we're seeing Luzardo. So Jack Fritz, who's out shooting hot dogs with the Fanatic right now, was very excited about him and his stuff and his potential. And it seems like he's thrown great this year. If you're a Phillies fan who has never seen Jesus Luzardo, what can they expect to see from him? What kind of pitcher is he?
He's legit. He's legit. He's top of the order rotation guy. He might be the fourth or fifth starter, but he's top of the rotation stuff-wise. He was throwing 97 the other day with an unbelievable breaking ball. Great command, good athlete, feels his position. That was a great trade that we made. If he's healthy, the whole thing with our pitching, we got to be healthy. And I don't think you're going to get five starters, like I said earlier, all year. If they go on the IL once for 2 weeks, not a big deal. We got to keep those guys off the IL for 6 to 8 weeks. But Luzardo, he could be a 1, 2, or 3 in any rotation. And the way he's throwing down here, I was shocked at his velocity. It was 897. Sanchez the other day was 97. Sanchez, again, this guy's come out of nowhere. Walker's throwing the ball good. And we know what Nola and Wheels can do. Ranger, this is his walk year. As you guys know, when a guy has a walk year,
yeah,
for some reason they have a tendency to turn it up a notch.
For some reason, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
I think it's that green stuff. So,
yeah.
But I expect those, barring injuries, those five guys, I don't see anybody better. I know people talk about the Dodgers. They got all that depth. I'll take these five starters over a lot of teams in baseball.
Well, I mean, you're talking about top of the rotation guys. the just taking the first half we saw from Ranger last year, what we know we've seen out of Sanchez, what you said about Lizardo, what we know we've seen out of Wheeler and Nola, we're talking about five guys who are one or two starters.
They are.
You know, and
they're not four or fives. They're,
no.
They're, all of them could pitch one or two at a rotation, especially if they're off this ball. If they're not on the Phillies, they'd be top of the rotation. To me, that's a big strength for us, our starting pitching. Now, on the other side of the coin, we got sinker ball pitchers, except for Wheeler probably. We got to catch a ball.
Yeah.
We got to make plays that are outs. We can't give teams 32, 33 outs a game. That's not going to get it. And we're really stressing pitching and defense. We know guys are going to hit. There's guys on that team that are going to hit. But we need the pitching and defense. I think that should be our mantra as we continue on in 2025 here.
Well, I got one question for you, LB. Golf swing. Have you got a chance to work on it down here?
This is important.
I don't know where my golf swing went.
Oh, no.
I was on top of my game last year. I said, damn.
Yeah.
This year, I might have to go down in AAA or AA and work on my game a little bit. It was bad. It was really bad. I mean, everyone's talking about it. Every time I get up, don't forget about that hole in one. I said, I'm just trying to find
That's
this
right,
ball
the
right
hole
now.
In one, yeah. Well, I guarantee you it's better than my golf swing, so I ain't worried about that.
The only thing is now I take it with a grain of salt. I used to get mad. Now, that game's too hard. I
just, right?
Go out and have fun, man.
I'll be honest. You're the beginning of this, when you said these guys are, for lack of a better word, pissed off, and they know what happened last year. It's a good sign, because when we were down here last year, I think we felt from them the importance of getting off to a hot start, and they felt offended by what happened the year before. And them bringing that into this year, maybe not the hot start as much as, you know, it's like do or die.
It is.
You know, for
it's,
these guys.
It reminds me a lot of our team, 76, 77, 78. We were winning. We kept coming up short against the big red machine and the Dodgers. And I remember it like it was yesterday that Rudy Carpenter got the core guys together, and he was a great owner. And he loved every one of us, and he said, if we don't go deep this year, he's going to have to break this team up. Now, that hasn't happened here, but he sort of got our attention before we took the field in 80. And that was on our mind the whole year, because we came up together. We won, learned how to win together. We learned how to lose together, but we kept coming in out up short. And he basically said, if we don't go deep, he's going to break this team up. And I'm not saying that motivated us, but it was on our mind. And I think these guys are thinking about the last 3 years. I'll give you the first year. Houston,
right.
I think Houston was a better team than us.
Yep.
But the last two, I can't believe those two teams were better than us.
Yep. Well, we appreciate you, man. We're looking forward to the season. And, you know, this is a team that's been – World Series, LCS, you know, like this.
I'm going to be disappointed if this team don't go deep. And I like every one of those guys. I respect every one of them, and I think they'll be the first to tell you if we don't go deep, they're going to be very disappointed. So, hopefully, we can get this thing going and follow the Eagles down Broad Street.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
I wouldn't mind two parades in one year, my friend.
In '80, we had all four teams go to the finals. We came,
yep.
Finally, the Phillies won. Hopefully, the Eagles are setting the precedent now, and we can follow down Broad Street with them.
And most important,
Sixers will not be following.
No, probably not. Not this year. Well, most importantly, good luck on the golf swing. We hope you find it.
Yeah. I'll sacrifice the golf swing for another parade down.
Team guy right there. That's a team guy. We thank you for joining us.
Enjoy the weather down here.
We will. I promise you we will. There is Larry Boa. We are at Philly Spring Training down here in Clearwater. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at Mark's-Jewelers.com. Do you like the Eagles giving the Saquon Barkley a contract extension? 88% say yes.
Yes.
But I like it. But
it still caught me off guard, though.
It's a deeper question than do you. Of course, everybody likes everything right now, you know. But $36 million guaranteed. That's a lot, you know. I got to hear more about the cap. And by the way, Elliot will join us in about 10 minutes.
Get those numbers together, E.
Yeah, come on, Elliot.
Do some work.
Here's where something can't be right. We threw those numbers out there.
Yeah.
It was 26 guaranteed on the first deal.
Yes.
It's 36 there.
Yes. So it's 52 guaranteed
total. $52 million guaranteed to a running back.
Is that new money? It has to be.
Dude, if Elliot does not have every single detail when we talk to him at 3 o'clock.
Because he's supposed to be a GM, right? He's supposed to be.
Well,
he can do this.
He could be a good
GM
right now.
Like we hypothesized, he would just say, do the Howie thing.
Yes, and Howie better do the Howie thing with this one. Because I really.
It should free up money this year. As long as it frees up money this year where they can use it for next year's team, I guess it makes sense. But I don't know if that's the case.
How's it going to free up money?
Well,
I don't know.
The money aspect of it, I'm not worried about. I'm too dumb to question Howie about the cap. So, yeah, I'm assuming Howie's not putting us in cap hell. He hasn't done it before, right? He's never done that.
Well, what we'll be telling, we'll get the details from Elliot in 10 minutes. What we'll be telling will be the rest of this offseason. Will be the
That's
rest
what
of this
I'm saying.
Offseason.
Yeah, what,
it'll be the Zach
yeah,
Bond.
It's great that you signed Saquon. Okay, can we get some of the other guys signed too?
And truthfully, I don't think, you know, the idea of Myles Garrett is fun, but none of us are counting on that. We're all counting on Josh Sweat leaving. We're all counting on Milton Williams leaving. The question to me is, are they able to sign Bond? Are they able to sign Becton? Yeah. Are they able to extend Juergens like we think they will? Mm-hmm. And who's a cap casualty because of this? Is it Dallas Goedert? Where does this land? So we will get the details of that next with Elliot Shore Parks. We are down here in Clearwater for Phillies spring training. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Reese, Spike Eskin, and Jack Fritz.